It's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
Hello and welcome. He is Gary McNamara. I'm Eric Harley. As we move into a Friday, hey kids! It's the bonus show.
Yeah, it's a bonus show, and hold it. Just stop the presses for a moment.
What?
Stop them. Stop everything. Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Brian.
Except if you're driving. And you don't want to stop if you're driving because a police officer may say, what's that guy doing? Okay, let's pull him over. Are you supposed to be out on the streets?
You know, it was funny. I actually saw a tweet today by one of the local police departments that said, yeah, we're not doing that. We're not, you know, that's not going on right now. We're not checking into you.
Yeah, that happened here because someone said, I have a friend who said that they were stopped and they were questioned why they were out and where they were going.
Yeah.
And that police department called right back and said, nope, that's not happening. We're only stopping people if they commit a violation.
Right, primary.
Right. It's still the same rules and regulations. So, but stop everything. Forget about the coronavirus. Forget about the tanks that are headed to California. Forget about the video that's appearing that shows that the military is setting up staging areas to have us all under martial law.
Yeah.
Forget about anything else because there's only one important news item today, and we're starting it out for you here on Red Eye Radio.
Yeah.
Your checks will not be taxable.
Woohoo! I don't know. Is that good news? I don't know.
Your checks will not be taxable because it's in the form of a, we've had a couple of questions on it, because it's in the form of a tax refund.
Now, I don't qualify for them, so I think they should be taxed.
Well, I've told you,
866-90 Red Eye.
I hate this entire plan because I don't get anything.
I don't get anything.
I continually put in, since everybody else is saying it, why can't we, right?
Yeah, right.
Well, what about Hulk Hogan? I'm not taking care of it. Nobody's taking care of me.
By the way, they shouldn't be giving me a check.
No, they
should be doing a direct deposit into my bank account. Get with it. It's 2020. Come on,
people. Yes, I don't want a check.
I don't want the government writing me a check. I want a direct deposit. It's faster.
Because it's in the form of a tax rebate, when you get a tax rebate, it's like getting a check back from the federal government, except you didn't pay in for this.
Exactly.
Right. So,
yeah.
But it will not be taxed.
Okay.
So everybody.
It's not considered earnings. Yeah.
Right. Everybody happy now?
Yeah.
Everybody. Okay.
Now the unemployment will be taxed. You know, that's different, though.
Unemployment will be taxed.
The what's being called stimulus. It's not stimulus. It's relief. But whatever. The first check, the big check, the huge chunk. Now we did the math. I mean, if you qualified for, let's say a total of the 600 plus 400 in your state for unemployment. And then a family of four, and you get $3,400. Now, I don't think you would qualify for $400 if you were under $75,000. You wouldn't qualify for the $3,400 because you probably wouldn't make the same unemployment. So let's just say your unemployment would be $200 a week. That would be $800 a week total, right? $200 from your state, $600 from the federal government, and that's $3,200 plus $3,400. In the stimulus check,
if you make, let's say you're a family of four that makes $100,000, okay, that's what you will get that check for $3,400.
Yeah, I know.
And if you were laid off, okay, and you made that amount, then you would get the maximum in your state. At that level, you would get the maximum.
I guess that would be more than $800 or $900 a week.
You would end up getting if you got the maximum roughly. In the state of Texas, you would end up getting $1,077
a week.
What did I say, a month? Did I say a month?
No.
Oh, okay. Yes, a week, yes.
And then you would get the $3,400 if you're a family of four.
Right. So you would end up getting a roughly $7,500 check. You'd end up getting $7,500 in the month of April.
It's time to party. Many of the liquor stores are closed. Sorry.
many of them are open.
Time to travel to where they're open.
No, I didn't go to the driving range yesterday, in case anybody's asking.
And I didn't go to the liquor store, in case anybody's
asking. I thought about it, but I went. I just can't take the chance, because we're still here. Are we preparing for the zombie apocalypse? Yes. Slowly, we're preparing that if we had to do the shows from home.
Yeah,
but
we
would rather do it here, because the setup is just so great, and we like being, I can't believe I'm saying this, we like being in the same room together for the professional advantages of it.
Yeah, that's the ticket.
Personally, being in the same room with him sucks, but we'll get the bloggers going. Yeah. But professionally,
they don't like each other.
Professionally, it is wonderful.
Yeah.
If you don't know what we're talking about, when Eric and I first started working together and Facebook came out, we mentioned that we weren't Facebook friends.
Right.
And that's all somebody heard, and then it ended up on the blogs. They're not Facebook friends. They're not really friends off the air at all. And the reason we said that is we just don't want to know what each other is doing every day.
No.
And this is the beginning when I think you and I were probably on a lot more on Facebook, which we're not now.
Yeah,
I mean, once in a while, I may post once a week, but but we just said we don't want to know what each other's doing, because we want it to be a surprise when we come in
and
do the show. So it's really, and so that got misinterpreted and ended up on some of the radio blogs. They're not really friends. They hate each other's guts.
Which is true. We just don't want people thinking that. It's going to start it all over again.
Why not?
He actually said it's true. We have it. We're recording it.
I heard it. He said it's true.
We're recording it on our cassette player.
I don't trust where you've been. I don't want to get coronavirus.
I don't trust where I've been.
Well, I haven't been anywhere. I thought about hitting the driving range. I said, I better not do it. You know, it's thought about going golfing, because you can in my county. That's considered, and a liquor store is considered essential.
Well, it should be, by all means.
Oh, coming up, we'll hear from Dr. Birx, who talked yesterday. Do you notice how the narrative changed yesterday completely?
Yeah.
That maybe we're all overreacting?
Right.
Even from Cuomo.
Yeah.
And at the same time that Cuomo was stating that maybe this wasn't the best public health policy by keeping everybody at home, the order that I put in, I'm like, wow. I noticed that the hashtag Cuomo for president wasn't as being widely talked about yesterday.
Right.
Because you can make the case, as we made the other day, that look, if you actually break down what Cuomo has said, a lot of the stuff that he said is exactly what Trump has done.
Yep.
And we said the other day, I said, you can't sit there and talk about the hydroxychloroquine and criticize Trump, because Cuomo is the one who's actually put in the order for the biggest clinical trial of it.
Right.
Experimenting on the citizens of New York. Doing Hitler experiments on the citizens of New York. To basically bring up the former CNN journalist who said that the other day.
Right.
But whether you had Dr. Birx saying it, and we'll play that audio coming up here in a little bit, in the hearing last night, whether you have Cuomo saying it, and Birx relates to the researcher, the scientist who came up with that doomsday pandemic model.
Yeah,
that predicted Armageddon in Great Britain and the United States, saying 2.2 million deaths, whatever, that has been used to shut down much of the economy in the United States, has now said, oh, maybe I went too far.
Right.
And so we'll talk about that coming up here on the show. New poll out there. The vast majority of Americans want Nancy Pelosi out, including half of Democrats.
Well, she'll have more time to go drinking. I mean, you know, if she's retired or laid off.
And the other thing that I noticed yesterday was that as the left started hyping up, okay, we can get Trump because Trump didn't jump on this as quickly as possible. Trump should have taken this more seriously. Whether it was Tucker Carlson or the conservative, they all started coming out with quotes from, remember after the president said, okay, no more flights to China. And the left came out and said, no, go out. Go to your favorite restaurants. Go out. Do this. Do that. Don't pay attention. It's a, and all the quotes now are coming out of all the Democrats that actually took it less seriously than the president of the United States. Why? Because if the president took it seriously at all and said, nope, we're considering not letting people in from this country, then he was a racist. And so everybody needs to go out and defy this president.
Yeah.
Oh, the politics of this is just wonderful.
I love the headline. It's also entertaining sometimes. The headline from the Miami Herald. Desperate shoppers not desperate enough for odd foods on picked over grocery shelves. And the link to that from Drudge was not desperate enough to go vegan. So there's all these vegetables left. And we're all like, no, no, no.
And also we've talked about the line that we've seen in the media, specifically NBC and MSNBC, on the whole parasite fish powder.
Yeah.
Thanks, Representative Dan Crenshaw, for posting yesterday on Twitter that CBS did the exact same thing.
Right.
You ready?
Yeah, here we go.
Arizona man dies, wife ill after taking drug touted as virus treatment. Trump kept saying it was basically pretty much a cure. Did anybody tout the fish parasite, fish cleaning, fish bowl tank cleaner as a virus treatment? Did anybody do that?
No. Chloroquine phosphate in that form? No.
And
I guarantee you that bottle had a warning on it. I looked at a number of bottles, in fact, online, because you can look at the labels and everything up close. They all have, warning, keep away from children, do not ingest, and blah, 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 blah. I mean, it doesn't even matter. The truth doesn't matter. This is proof.
No, doesn't.
Make it up as you go along.
And
Bernard Goldberg right now. Bernard Goldberg, right? I was going to say he'd be rolling in his grave. He's very much still alive.
Yes,
he's rolling in his chair. But I mean, you think about it, because he was, back then he was the chief at CBS News when he wrote before he wrote the book Biased.
Mm-hmm.
And someone pointed out to him, a contractor working on his house, said, you guys are biased. And he said, no, we're not. And he said, look at it. And he went back and looked at the phrasing on some of the stories. And it was Steve Forbes' tax plan.
Right.
And they called it a tax scheme.
They called it a tax scheme.
And by the way, that's very light if you think about it in today's terms.
Right.
Compared to what they're writing, this CBS headline.
It's very, very tame. Yeah.
It's very tame.
Right. And that's where he was talking about the flat tax.
Right, right.
And they said his flat tax scheme, and all they found were people against it. They didn't find any experts for it.
Yeah.
And that's when Goldberg looked at it and said, this is biased.
Well, and
this is absolutely a biased article. It's not written. You should basically say, here's his plan. Here's people that like it. Here's people that don't like it. And you don't use words like scheme. And that's where he started realizing that the media was completely biased.
It's interesting because you look at what it's tamed by comparison. If the Dixie Chicks had said in 2020 what they said about George W. Bush, back then in 2020, they'd still be employed.
I was going to say it wouldn't even make the news.
No, it wouldn't. In fact, it would probably be applauded by a great number of people. And again, they would still be employed. People don't understand in country music, there are plenty of liberals.
Yeah, now there are. Yeah, it's changed. Yeah. In 20 years. Right,
right. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they all wear the skinny jeans and everything else. The women, too.
Oh, I did like that one. The guy what is his biggest problem, the coronavirus or the skinny jeans?
You see
that one?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
With that one guy.
Yeah.
And he was a little bit, he carrying a little extra weight, but he was in these tight jeans that were just so tight.
You can't do that, man.
Oh, man.
Can't do that, man. Don't do that. Don't do that.
There comes a time where comfort over style, and that came very young for me.
Well,
I'm
just going to say this. There are certain things that shouldn't shelter in place. let's just leave it at that.
All right. We have an average show ahead.
Yeah.
If you want to get in, we'd love to hear from you. It's a Friday show, 866-90-RED-EYE.
Lines open for your calls, 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90. Red Eye. I got a ton of audio coming up here on the show tonight. In fact, coming up following the bottom of the hour, we'll hear from White House Coronavirus Task Force member Dr. Birx, who warned the public not to panic when they hear about the models and the projections of the pandemic spread. By the way, that was even said by Cuomo yesterday. We'll get to his quote coming up here in just a little bit. And also the scientist, one of the scientists that predicted the doomsday pandemic model that a lot, that the White House used, that counties use, that states use.
Yeah, right.
They're now saying he walked that back yesterday going, oops, don't think it's going to be as bad.
Right.
So we will get to that. I do want to get to the Cuomo thing here. Here it is. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo said Thursday that his stay-at-home order for the entirety of New York State was probably not the best public health strategy. In a press conference in Albany, Cuomo said the smartest way would be a public health strategy that complemented a get-back-to-work strategy.
Which he started saying, by the way, before Trump said
it. Before Trump, yes.
To be clear.
What we did was we closed everything down. This is a quote. What we did was close everything down. That was our public health strategy, just close everything, all businesses, old workers, young people, old people, short people, tall people. Look at all those bigoted statements and the identity politics there.
Really?
Every school closed everything. If you rethought that or had time to analyze that public health strategy, I don't know that you would say quarantine everyone, Cuomo admitted. I don't even know that that was the best public health policy.
If he keeps talking like that, by the way, he'll be the one to take Pence's place, not Nikki Haley.
young people then quarantined with older people was probably not the best public health strategy because the younger people could have been exposing the older people to an infection.
Yeah. All right.
Well, it's important to bring this up because they were anointing him, the Democrats, as this guy needs to be president. And as you and I have said over the last 3 or 4 days, he sounds like Trump.
Well,
the message he's putting out is exactly the message that Trump is putting out.
Well, who is responsible right now for the only deployment, full deployment of within their jurisdiction of the drugs, the drug combination, the Z-Pak and the chloroquine and the hydroxychloroquine?
Cuomo was the first.
Cuomo is the first.
Yes.
He led the pack.
He led the pack.
Trump only said, we're hopeful.
Yes.
That was his only message.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't urge. He didn't order. He didn't promise anything. And this is just, it just gets to that point of insanity. But you know what? The media, you mentioned this, and we'll talk more about this here in just a minute. What do their ratings and approval look like?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Here's your forecast.
Some potential icing, possibly snow in areas of South Dakota and Nebraska. You'll want to watch it as you proceed westward from Sioux Falls on I-90 or westward on I-80 out of Lincoln, Nebraska. Should be clear to the west of I-29, at least for the next few hours, but we do begin to pick up that rain-snow area in that region coming off the Colorado Rockies. Now, as we get into the Midwest, things change over to rain, and that area will become more widespread. For the overnight and early morning hours, we'll see rain chances extend from Pittsburgh into Columbus, Ohio, Indianapolis, Indiana, and over into central Illinois. As the day progresses, though, that area becomes more widespread to include not only those areas, but back toward the west, portions of Iowa, Missouri, and Kansas. I-10 is clear from California to Florida. Your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Bonus Show.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. All right, I want to play this audio cut from the task force press conference yesterday afternoon. White House task force member, Dr. Deborah Birx, and her comments on warning the public not to panic when they hear about the models out there. And a lot of the models, you know, we talk about the Imperial College model that even the White House followed, and many cities, municipalities, and states followed, that was looking at the worst possible scenario, that now they have pulled back and said, well, and we had said this, earlier this week, we said, if you actually look at the predictions that they made for March, none of them came true.
Right.
It was all way under what they said, you know, it could be. And she brings this up, and I want to play this portion of the task force press conference yesterday.
American people, I'm sure many of you saw the recent report out of the UK about them adjusting completely their needs. This is really quite important. If you remember, that was the report that said there would be 500,000 deaths in the UK and 2.2 million deaths in the United States. They've adjusted that number in the UK to 20,000. So half a million to 20,000. We're looking into this in great detail to understand that adjustment. I'm going to say something that's a little bit complicated, but I'm going to try to do it in a way that we can all understand it together. In the model, either you have to have a large group of people who are asymptomatic, who've never presented for any test, in order to have the kind of numbers that were predicted, to get to 60 million people infected, or of 6 million people infected, you have to have a large group of asymptomatics, because in no country to date have we seen an attack rate over 1 in 1,000. So either we're only measuring the tip of the iceberg of the symptomatic cases, and underneath it are a large group of people. So we're working very hard to get that antibody test, because that's a good way to figure out who are all these people under here and do they exist. Or we have the transmission completely wrong. So these are the things we're looking at, because the predictions of the models don't match the reality on the ground in either China, South Korea, or Italy. We are about 5 times the size of Italy. So if we were Italy and you did all those divisions, Italy should have close to 400,000 deaths. They're not close to achieving that. So these are the kinds of things we're trying to understand. Models are models. We're adapting now to the reality. There's enough data now of the real experience with the coronavirus on the ground to really make these predictions much more sound. So when people start talking about 20% of a population getting infected, it's very scary. But we don't have data that matches that based on the experience. And then finally, the situation about ventilators. We were reassured in meeting with our colleagues in New York that there are still ICU beds remaining, and there's still significant over 1,000 or 2,000 ventilators that have not been utilized yet. Please, for the reassurance of people around the world, to wake up this morning and look at people talking about creating DNR situations, do not resuscitate situations for patients. There is no situation in the United States right now that warrants that kind of discussion. You can be thinking about it in a hospital.
Trump said we were supposed to get some big...
There you go. That's,
yeah. Well, because you get to all these extreme points, especially with social media, very quickly. And it starts... And the problem with the echo chamber, that is social media, is that it's going to bounce and bounce and bounce. It bounces around up to the point that, hey, we could see 1 million deaths next week. It just starts to overinflate. And then you see videos or predictions made by people who aren't part of the research teams that may have medical experience. I'm not trying to discount the experience they have, but they're not part of the research teams. And then all of a sudden, boom, those things go viral.
She said and finished up saying, please, for the reassurance of the people around the world, to wake up this morning and look at people talking about creating DNR situations. Do not resuscitate situations for patients. Mm-hmm. There is no situation in the United States right now that warrants that kind of discussion. you can be thinking about that in the hospitals. Certainly hospitals talk about this on a daily basis. But to say that to the American people and make the implication that when they need a hospital bed, it's not going to be there, or a ventilator, it's not going to be there. We don't have evidence of that. It's our job collectively to assure the American people. It's our job to make sure that doesn't happen. You can see the cases are concentrated in highly urban areas, and there are other parts of the states that have a lot of ventilators and other parts of New York State that don't have any infected. We can meet the needs by being responsive. There is no model right now, no reality on the ground where we can see that 60 to 70% of Americans are going to get infected in the next 8 to 12 weeks. I want to be clear about that. We are adapting to the reality on the ground and looking at the models of how they can inform, but learning from South Korea, Italy, and from Spain, I know you will look up my numbers.
Yeah.
So that was from Dr. Deborah Birx yesterday. And this is a kind of this is why probably one of the reasons I'm going to guess. I'm making an assumption here, but probably one of the reasons that the media wishes now to censor the daily briefings.
Well, that's it, because, you know, number one, you saw the approval rating for the president go up.
Yes, on this.
And it's because and why is that? It really isn't about his demeanor or anything else. It is the fact that he showed up every day, and he was on stage. He is on stage with that task force every single day. Now, the media wants you to believe that he's trying to play expert and that he's saying a ton of absolute things. You know, at the same time, they say, well, he's not promising. They imply that he's not promising hope to the American people. He's the one saying that he hopes that these clinical trials show a positive result and that the studies are right. He's hopeful about that. By the way, that's real hope. That's true hope. Well, when you point to something saying, look, there's evidence so far, and that's a good thing, so we're going to continue more, and then you have, I don't know, probably one of the two highest blue governors in the country, right? I would say Gavin Newsom and Governor Cuomo.
Right.
Probably the two highest profile.
Right, yes.
And Governor Cuomo
higher
deploys,
higher profile than even Newsom.
Yes. Well, I would say because he's a household name.
He's a Cuomo.
He's a Cuomo.
Right.
And so, which is why, it was maybe a year and a half ago, we said, yeah, he'll probably be one of the picks to run for president.
And he's not the stupid one.
No, he's smart, not like everybody says.
Yes.
He's actually smart.
Yes.
Not like everybody says.
Fredo's older brother.
Do you think he kisses Chris on the cheek and says, I knew it was you, Chris. I knew it was you. You broke my heart. I'm smart.
Nothing,
like everybody says.
Nothing happens to him.
Yeah.
Until my mother dies.
Until my mother dies. Don't get on any boats anytime soon.
Yeah,
exactly. But seriously, you have that in place, and the media doesn't focus on that. They focus on this bogus headline and manipulation of the facts in order to form a narrative that says Trump was suggesting people go ingest fish tank cleaner.
Yeah.
The crew that was yelling at him, screaming at him, the American people need to know what's going on with your administration during a pandemic. This was just a few months ago. Now during a pandemic is saying you're giving the American people too much information from your administration. That is ludicrous. These people are bat soup crazy.
Yeah, they are. Just reading Molly Hemingway's column in the Federalist.com, as Trump's poll numbers rise, media begins censoring press conferences. And she has, when the poll showed that President Donald Trump was receiving unusually high marks for his handling of the coronavirus pandemic, the first stage of grief the media went through was denial. And she has a tweet there from Sam Stein. In a new poll from ABC, 55% of Americans approve of the president's management of the crisis, compared to 43% who disapproves. Then Ron Fournier, the columnist, WTF. That can't be right.
Yeah.
The political media have been working extremely hard to craft a narrative that the spread of the coronavirus was essentially the fault of the man that they had blamed for all the other ills in recent years. How could the people not accept the narrative, particularly considering that most everyone in the media was pushing it? Then things got worse.
Right.
When additional polls showed Trump receiving high ratings at the same time that the media was receiving poor ratings. A brand new Gallup study, coronavirus response, hospitals rated best, news media worst. Was particularly bad news when Americans were asked about 9 different institutions and political leaders. They gave majority approval to all but the media.
Of course.
The President Trump has a 22-point net approval rating, while the media's net approval rating was a negative 11 points. The Real Clear Politics approval average for Trump was the highest during his entire presidency. In response, the media were angry and depressed and began blaming his press conferences. Their theory seemed to be that more Americans saw Trump unfiltered, the more that they saw him unfiltered, they liked him. And the more Americans saw the behavior of the media unfiltered, they didn't like it. It flies in the face of what many in the media assume for years. They push for daily White House press conferences so that they could have the opportunity to be on camera and pressure the Trump administration. Now that they had daily press briefings with the president, no less, they weren't happy. It was a weird response for a group of people whose ostensible job is to simply report the news of the day. The New York Times reporter began disparaging the public health briefings featuring some of the country's top medical professionals. Katie Rogers wrote, "These briefings now run an average of 90 minutes, about the length of a Trump rally." Imagine that. And have you seen that? Now they're coming out saying, these are just Trump rallies.
which is exactly what we said. We were joking, of course.
Within a few days, the groupthink had firmly spread, suddenly addressing the American people day after day. The very thing the media had demanded for years was a dangerous departure from norms. You got another tweet here from Gabriel Sherman. "Trump is literally turning all three cable networks into state TV. Live daily campaign rallies for the president to strengthen his hold on power. Unprecedented departure from American norms." And then another tweet from the mainstream media. NBC and CNN producers say that they're through airing Trump's virus pressers. "We might take it from the top and then cut away after the first lie and return when the lies stop."
Yeah. Uh-huh.
An example of what they called a lie was Trump's discussion of a potential treatment for those infected with the coronavirus. The proposed treatment had not gone through extensive clinical trials for the Wuhan coronavirus in particular, although it well established in use for malaria patients, and many doctors are hoping to continue its use for the novel coronavirus, while New York Governor Andrew Cuomo is so bullish on the treatment that he authorized its use in his state, he has not received any criticism from the media. The absurdity of claiming that Trump was lying about this promising treatment plan was topped by the media blaming Trump when one individual seeking to prevent infection ingested fish tank cleaner because it contained similar ingredients. Here in All Things Considered, host at a public radio station funded by tax dollars, had this considered response. "Did you hear Donald Trump talking up anti-malarial drugs as a potential COVID-19 therapy today? Not on our station, you didn't, because we no longer carry his non-fact-checked horse manure, but the real word, marathon daily briefing spin live on the air. Thank our management for this decision." Well, then Cuomo should be in jail.
Yes. Right. Because he's enacted the policy.
I mean, it's just the most bizarre thing. Here's the thing. We never think they can top themselves. We came up with the term perverted awe.
Right.
It's even more perverted now. I can't believe they're going there.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. 866-90 Red Eye. Coming up, later today, whether you're going to get your check or not, or will it be held up till Saturday? Will they have a quorum? Will Representative Massey say, And that's what's really ticking off a lot of Republicans is, look, make it clear. If you're not going to vote for the voice vote, if you're going to be the lone objection to the voice vote or anybody else, tell us now so we can come in.
Right.
Don't keep us guessing.
Right. Don't wait until Friday,
right,
which will push everything at least until Monday.
Right. If you don't want it, then do it. Well, actually, Saturday. They do it Saturday.
Oh, okay. They would come in Saturday.
Friday and they would do it.
Yeah,
if they didn't have a quorum, they would do it Saturday.
Yeah, okay, good.
But they're furious because they're saying, you're making it so we've got to get on planes. Not that they're against getting on planes, but it's like we've already got members of Congress that have had to quarantine themselves and have gotten coronavirus. We don't want to do it.
Well, and this thing is going to pass either way.
And yes, it is.
Effectively, what are you doing?
Yep.
This hour's news is brought to you by Travel Centers of America, home of World Lens Coffee, the freshest roast on the road.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the world, 86690 Red Eye. He is Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara. Welcome and good morning. RedEyeRadioShow.com. We stream live or get our app, put it on your phone, and listen consistently. Never stop listening if you get the app. 24/7, over and over and over and over again.
Please.
Okay, just once would be okay. Travelers from New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, and the city of New Orleans would be required to self-quarantine for 14 days before entering the state of Texas. Governor Greg Abbott announced in a news conference on Thursday, Abbott explained that the order, which applies only to those who arrive in Texas by plane, will be enforced by the Texas Department of Public Safety. Travelers from the designated areas will be asked to provide officials with a quarantine location, the governor explained. And the Department of Public Safety, state police, mm-hmm, will conduct visits to the designated quarantine locations to verify compliance, Abbott said. People affected by the order cannot have any visitors besides healthcare providers, and they may not visit any public places, Abbott said. Failure to comply will be considered a criminal offense, punishable by up to a $1,000 fine, 180 days in jail, or both.
Department of Public Safety troopers will conduct visits to those designated quarantine locations to verify compliance with this executive order. Failure to comply with this order is considered to be a criminal offense.
Mm. Wow.
Wow, yeah. Crazy.
So there you go. I was looking at somebody who was posting pictures of O'Hare yesterday, and it was a ghost town.
You know what?
It was like at noon.
I was going to say earlier this week, if anybody is in O'Hare, don't go there for this reason, but if you're in O'Hare, you know, tweet the picture out and let us know, because I was really curious about that. I mean, that's extremely rare. And I've only been through O'Hare. I've never been in the TSA line at O'Hare.
I was once.
No, I've never been, mm-hmm, because I was always passing through. I've always passed through, yeah, the airport, you know, connecting flight. And now I've seen it. I've seen the lines as you go, you know, from one terminal to the other. But I was really curious about that.
O'Hare used to be my second home. I spent so much time there connecting.
It's a lot of people's second home because you spend so much time waiting. You know, sometimes it's weird because, you know, you'll be at the gate and you look across at the other gate and people are just looking so defeated. I mean, they're just, the look on their faces like they're never going to see their loved ones again. Sometimes I feel really sorry for them. I mean, it's really.
Whenever I'm in O'Hare,
mm-hmm,
when you go to the H or K terminals,
right?
When H or K, right there, and they've got that split off there. There's a wine bar. I've never gone to the wine bar, but there's a piano right there. I always want to go and play the piano.
Yeah, right.
Because most of the time, once in a while, they'll have some guy playing the piano. You know, doing it at you know, I don't know, 5 to 7, but most of the time the piano just sits there.
Right.
It's like it's a beautiful piano and I want to play it, but I never do. But that's, and every time I go through O'Hare, what do I think of? Home
Cinnabon.
Alone.
Cinnabon. Oh.
Home Alone. No, not Cinnabon. Home Alone. No, I can't anymore. Cinnabon. No, I that's
I know, yeah.
That's pre-Gary type 2 diabetes.
Yeah, yes. Right.
That's, now I could walk right by. I could just go, and I don't think it's in, that was in Terminal G. I don't think that's there anymore. Or not Terminal, is it Terminal G?
The piano or G? The Cinnabon?
The Cinnabon.
I think they did move it, right?
Yeah. I don't know if it's in there anymore.
It seems like they have a McDonald's in every terminal.
Oh, yeah, they got a McDonald's everywhere.
Yeah.
But every time I go through, I think of Home Alone.
Right.
Home Alone 2.
Yeah.
Home Alone 2, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Every time. It's like, okay.
Don't mention that because it could trigger people because it has Trump in it for about 10 seconds.
That's the only reason I brought it up, because Trump's in it. I wanted to tick off the left. I hope you're all angry now.
Well, it's, you know, I
guess I'm not going to New York.
Well, here's the, you know,
here's a couple weeks.
Here's the thing about the whole situation with Massey. We were talking about it. Massey being the representative from Kentucky, the Republican
yes.
from Kentucky,
right.
talking about possibly objecting mm-hmm. to the voice vote. So essentially, procedurally, you know, they ask for a voice. If nobody objects, they go to a voice vote.
Right.
But if someone objects, they have to call everybody in.
They got to get a quorum, which is 216 members.
Right. And the report is one source saying, yeah, it's the Massey show right now. So he's running the right. whole thing. The thing is you're not going to, for Representative Massey, you're not going to change anything.
Right.
You may get, you know, you may get some flack from your, you want to possibly show your constituents in your district in Kentucky that you stood ground and you want to force it to a vote so you can be on record of saying no. But it's not going to change anything, and I don't know that it helps you much in your district.
Right, because I'm glad you explained that, because in a voice vote, you are not registered
right.
for how you voted.
Exactly.
And so apparently he wants to make it clear. But House leadership advised members on Thursday evening, to come back to Washington on Friday morning, if possible. As top lawmakers told TheHill.com, they anticipate that Representative Thomas Massey, Republican of Kentucky, would call for a roll call vote on the $2 trillion stimulus package passed in the Senate earlier this week. House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer and House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy aim to pass the bipartisan measure via voice vote in the lower chamber in an attempt to minimize the health risk for members who have traveled long distances amid the pandemic. But according to multiple House members, Massey is threatening to derail leaders' plans, taking issue with its cost and the process used to pass it through the upper chamber. Mr. Hoyer and Mr. McCarthy previously expected that the vote on H.R. 784, the Coronavirus Aid Relief and Economic Security Act, would be done by voice vote, but there is now a possibility that the House Republican may suggest a quorum, that if a quorum is not present, and an attempt to call for a recorded vote on final passage, sources in Hoyer's press shop said. We have notified our members of the possibility that the bill may not pass by voice vote. The Majority Leader's office has sent notice to members that if they are able and willing to be in Washington, D.C., by 10 a.m. to do so. They're encouraged to do so while exercising all due caution. So there you go.
Yeah.
And it's going to pass. And
yep.
It's going to pass. We know it's going to pass.
Well, I mean, if you're doing this just to put yourself on record for your, you know, constituents in your district, this isn't the one. This isn't the battle to pick. I understand. As a fiscal conservative, I get it. If you're looking at this the way Lindsey Graham looked at it, and a lot of people looked at it, then Lindsey Graham, you know, fought the fight and tried to get his amendment pushed on that unemployment thing, limiting that unemployment so people wouldn't make more on unemployment total than they do at their jobs right now. I get that. But the point is that you're going to be the one guy. And trust me, Things change when people are waiting for that cash because they've been told now for, what, probably the last 24, 36, maybe 48 hours, how much money they're going to get. They've been able to figure out how much money they're going to get. Even in your district, Representative Massey, there are people who may be otherwise fiscally conservative, but they're going to bite the bullet here because they want that money in their bank accounts. The point is that I don't think this battle works for you politically. I don't think it works for anybody politically right now.
Well, no, because you simply say I was one of the no's for the voice vote. But it's not going to be an issue.
No.
This is not going to be that issue. If you really wish to stand up, as we've said, in normal times, it's like you and I were looking at social media yesterday, and we said, where were all these people and so-called conservatives in normal times?
Right.
When we were the ones railing against where the Republicans were going and taking the hits for it from Republicans who now believe in much more government spending in normal times.
Right.
The problem of where we've gotten to is not because of even flawed bills mm-hmm. that are passed in dire emergencies in extraordinary times.
Right.
It's because we spend too much in normal times.
Right.
And I saw a ton on social media yesterday of Republican conservatives who were outraged, you know, for example, by $25 million for the National Endowment of the Arts or the Kennedy Center, whatever, and just furious about it as if the world had ended.
Yeah, right.
And exactly. You and I asked, where were you the last couple of years? Where were you when Republicans were in charge? Where were you? Republicans are saying, well, we can't fight it now. Well, now you're going to fight it?
Right.
And some of the money being spent, you know, when you talk about those things, is not a great look, $25 million is $25 million, but it's sure. not a great deal of money when we've looked at the spending that has been done in other places, which is in the form of hundreds of billions of dollars.
Right. Yeah, the permanent stuff.
Right.
I mean, you look at the permanent change that we have seen with more and more, the tendency to spend more and more and to run up a $1 trillion deficit and not blink.
Look, I don't remember, maybe he was, but I don't remember Massey in those times being, you know, the forefront on Fox News. Look, I want to be on Fox News and say this spending that the Republican Party is going for and you people on Fox are even endorsing
mm-hmm.
that you're not fighting for this. Where was he then?
Right.
If you're that furious about it to hold this up, where were you back then?
Again, on principle, I might agree with you. In fact,
I agree, right.
I'm telling you, if you're looking for political points in your district, this isn't the battle.
This isn't the one to
this
do
isn't,
it.
You're, this no. is not going to get you that win. It's not. God bless you for being a fiscal conservative. That's great. But right now, it is all hands on deck. I'm not saying, again, this isn't my position. This is the way that the people of his district and people around the nation are feeling, and that is we want them. We already know. They've done the tally. They're spending that money in their head right now. Right now. Right or wrong, you're going to hold it up, and politically, it's not going to work for you. It just isn't. You know, if you push it back one day to Saturday, you know, you're delaying the game again, and what are you doing it for? Because here's what happens on the whole. You get something done later this morning. The president signs it. The Treasury Department has the authorization. That does something in terms of the psychology for the American people. Again, right or wrong, we split it. And 6 months later, as you've been saying all week, Gary, we're going to look back at this and go, you and I and Massey and our listeners,
right,
we're already
right.
doing that. We are. We know the problems with it. But the thing is that the psychology right now is very different. Even amongst your constituents and the people supporting you, Representative Massey. So if you think it's going to win you something, you're wrong.
Oh, and by the way, since Eric mentioned the checks, you're not going to be, that's the biggest story of the day.
Yeah.
Nothing surpasses that. You will not be taxed on the checks that you receive.
Oh, yeah, that's the big story.
That's the big story.
Yeah,
that's even more important than anything
else. Aside from the unemployment, the big check, the big stimulus check or relief check that you're going to get, the initial check will not be taxed.
So let me ask you this. With the whoa, when I saw, and I knew it was coming, but when I saw the, you know, 3 million plus who filed unemployment claims last week, and I went, okay, let me look at the market, and it was up 1,200 points, and I'm thinking, wow, they figured it would be more.
Yeah, right.
They had to figure it was going to be more.
Yeah, right.
And so I thought that was interesting yesterday, but yeah, that was the other big thing, which again, we said, that's why if this thing lasted months and months and months, and we got criticized early in the week for talking about this. I know I did. Well, one of my friends criticized me for it. Was it last week? We said, look, do you know how bad this could be if this goes on for a couple of months?
Right.
And some of the projections out there from economists. And he said, you're just being so negative. I said, I'm not being negative. I'm telling you what many experts are saying and what the administration is saying.
This is the way
I said, look, you're a Trump fan and you're getting upset at me for telling you what the Trump administration is saying.
Right.
And you know, when the hit yesterday, the unemployment, you know, numbers from the claims last week,
right,
you understand that what we were saying, we're not blowing smoke or trying to blow drama or fear or anything else.
That's reality.
It's just the reality of when you decide, the country decides, we're going to cut down production and demand of almost everything.
Yeah.
Except what's needed for the pandemic.
Right.
Well, then you're going to run into some real, real economic problems if it lasts more, as we have said, than a couple of weeks or a month doing so.
Right.
And you could see that hit with the numbers yesterday there.
Yeah, millions.
Yeah.
And that towers over anything that happened in 2009.
Yeah, what was it, 600?
600,000
was the most
in, it was the, in a week. Was the worst week in 2009.
So, you know, four to five times as great.
Yeah. Hey, Barack Obama administration, hold our beer.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Tips from J.J. Keller and Associates Incorporated on RoadCheck 2020. Vehicle inspections. RoadCheck 2020 is emphasizing driver requirements this year, but don't think that'll be the only area inspectors will focus on from May 5th through the 7th. Inspectors will typically conduct the North American Standard Level 1 inspection. It's a 37-step procedure that also includes vehicle fitness, in addition to the driver requirements. Since the inspections conducted during road check are considered standard, you need to be sure that important systems like your brake, fuel, and exhaust systems are operating properly. They'll also look at components like tires, windshield wipers, and lights to ensure they're working as they should. Inspections shouldn't surprise you during road check, but you should be ready given the increased odds you'll be pulled over for one sometime during those 72 hours. This tip was brought to you by J.J. Keller and Associates Incorporated. Visit us at jjkeller.com.
This has been the Meritor Driver Report, brought to you by Pilot Flying J, Shell Rotella, and Meritor Aftermarket. Run with the bull.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carlin. I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE.
We are hoping, though it may not happen, that we will see that impact of warmer weather on bringing the infection rate down. But you can't guarantee it because this is a brand new virus.
And that's a day after he said it might be seasonal.
Right. Yeah.
So, and that would mean there. Couple of things we've learned this week. One, that it may be seasonal, which means in the warmer areas, it might not be as contagious. It still exists, but it isn't as contagious.
Right, right, right.
And that's something that, you know, they still don't know, but they are now, I think, sort of thinking that might be the case. So they've gone sort of from an I don't know to it might. At least Fauci has.
Yeah, right.
Remember, he said he talked to the WHO, and they believe it might be seasonal. And if it's seasonal, that's what it means. It will go down. It doesn't disappear, but it will go down. It's not as contagious.
Right.
It's still alive, but
it doesn't travel in the same way.
It doesn't travel in the same way, right. And so the other thing is that it's not mutating fast, which means any vaccine that they come up with next year, if it does come back, you would be able to be much closer on the vaccine, for example, than the flu vaccine.
Right. The flu vaccine is basically from last season's, and sometimes it's a miss.
Right.
Sometimes it's a total miss.
Because
sometimes they get it right.
Because it's evolved so quickly.
Right. If this one isn't evolving, if the coronavirus, if COVID-19 is not evolving in the same way, then you get to a point where, again, by next season, you get into the colder months and they have a vaccine. It's a much greater chance of immunizing the entire global population.
And the other thing that came out of this week is now the narrative yesterday, which was all of these doomsday predictions of 500,000deaths.
Right.
You know, possible deaths in Great Britain, now to a maximum of 20,000. Yeah. Well, that's a little overshoot, is it not?
Mm-hmm.
And the same with 2.2 million in the United States.
Right, yeah.
And that's what they were bringing up yesterday, saying, hmm, we're not seeing that.
Their lifelong ban from every major cruise ship line in the world after their involvement in a disgusting incident at the captain's table on the Love Boat would turn out to be a blessing in disguise. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley on Red Eye Radio.
Thanks, Gopher. 866-90 Red Eye, Captain Steubing. Oh, I see. Speaking of cruise ships, I guess the cruise ships aren't going to get, they're not in line for any aid.
Right.
I saw that yesterday.
Yeah.
I saw the headline. I didn't actually read the story. It's just, and I just thought about it now with Deep Voice Guy making up some kind of bizarre story, which I have no idea how that relates to the show or anything, but.
Well, now, I mean, are they eligible for any of the Treasury loans? I'm not sure that they are.
When the headline said they weren't.
Yeah. Because, yeah, I guess it depends where they're based, and not all of them are based here. And that point was made, and again, I think it was I'll find the article here in just a little bit. I think it was National Review, but the point was made. The opinion was, don't bail them out. By and large, they don't employ a lot of Americans, and they don't serve a critical role in the economy.
Here it is: big cruise line ships would not qualify for aid under stimulus package.
Okay. But again, I mean, you know, based on their assets, they could go to a number of banks, maybe even around the world, if they wanted to get a short-term loan or something else, some kind of bridge loan in the private sector.
A last-minute legislative change has shut out major cruise ship lines out of the roughly $2 trillion coronavirus stimulus package headed for the House vote on Friday. The cruise industry was among the first to take the public hit from the virus, along with airlines and hotels, but the aid package approved by the Senate, now headed to the House, limits aid to U.S. incorporated companies with the majority of workers based in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Two criteria that effectively exclude major cruise ship operators like Carnival, Norwegian Cruise Line Holding, and Royal Caribbean.
Right. I mean, when you're doing things like this, and by the way, sometimes they do, they give money to industries that don't serve a necessary role. But right now, it really is about those necessary roles.
Right.
And first and foremost, about American-based companies that employ Americans.
Well, as one of the points that Trump made, he said, look, a lot of areas where cruise ships come in, it's big business for those areas.
Sure. Well, that's great.
The ports where they come in, it's, you know, it's big. But you can't help every industry.
Well, I mean, again, what impact, how much of an impact is it? Like in our case, if you look at the Gulf Coast of Texas, right? Most of that is about the ports, not cruise ships, but what we export. You know, this is why they're doing so much infrastructure around the Houston area, because there's been a ton of flooding and they put billions and billions, tens of billions of dollars into that one area alone to beef up the infrastructure so that the exports could get to the ports, number one. And number two, in the case of some kind of massive global war, when you talk about deployment of troops, that's going to be one of the routes. So these are things you have to consider. It certainly has an impact. In Galveston, you can see it.
Alaska.
Oh, sure.
And the spokesman for Senator Dan Sullivan of Alaska said the senator supported the cruise ship industry because of its contributions to small business in Alaska.
Well, but those small businesses would qualify because they are American-based.
Yes, they would.
So they qualify in other ways.
Right.
And it's, you know, the impact is going to be felt. But here's the thing. What's going to change in terms of the real demand, right? The people that are right now afraid to get on ships. Because we're talking about international travel to a large extent. You're going into international waters.
I think they'll get hit harder than the airlines will post post-coronavirus.
I think that's a sound theory.
People would just reconsider.
Sure.
There's a friend of mine, and she does cruises all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, probably 2-3 a year.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I don't know if I'll go on a cruise ship again.
Yeah. I've been on one. I don't know.
That's not my thing. Just not into
it. Here's the thing. The only problem that I have with it is basically a personal problem. I like to get out and about more, and I feel limited on even though they're huge, massive ships. I feel limited on that. It doesn't matter what size the ship, I would feel limited. I still feel limited. I would want to travel on land more.
If I was going to do that, for me, get on a plane, land near the beach.
Yeah, sure.
You know,
right.
The beautiful tropical beach.
Right.
To me, I'd rather do that than get on a cruise ship.
Right.
That's just me.
Get on a boat of your own.
Right.
And get back to land when you want to get back to land. Look, I'm not knocking it. A lot of people love it.
They do.
A lot of people will tell you that it's the best way to vacation and everything else because you have everything right there.
Oh, wait.
Hmm.
There is one cruise I wanted to go on.
Which one?
The Prague Rock Cruise.
I thought you were going to say the Alaska cruise.
No, if it would be like 10 of my favorite bands, for a 3-day cruise, and it'd be like 24-hour music, that'd be cool. But I have a feeling that some of the people that like the same bands that I like, even though I respect them because I like the same bands I like, we might think differently.
Well,
they might annoy me after a while.
There's that, you know, and that's the thing. I thought about that because you see them all the time, the different genres of music, like the metal cruises and everything else. And I'm thinking, I don't know if I want to go see like a band who had one hit do an acoustic show by the pool.
Or the 60-year-old guy who's wearing a shirt of the band that he's seen. You can't do that.
Yeah. Well, David Coverdale can get away with it, but nobody else can. Coverdale does that. He wears this white snake button-down shirt of every show now. He's 68, 69 years old.
Well, I mean, the fans of the band.
Yeah. Oh,
The fans of the band I'm talking about.
Oh, okay, again. Okay.
But I'm just having fun here. But I wouldn't even do that, though, because I'm just not a cruise. I always think, well, that might be cool to do it. But when I think about if I had the choice, you know, and I was somebody who vacationed a lot, which I'm not. But if I was, it would be plane to the... to where the actually plane to where the beach golf course is. I wouldn't be spending time on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be near the golf course near the beach.
Yeah.
That's what I'd probably want to do.
Yeah.
More than anything. So
I'd be on the beach. Yeah. Or in the mountains hiking.
Or in the mountains hiking, yes. I'd like to do that too. Now, I have thought that if I do go somewhere, I've never seen the Grand Canyon, so I want to see the Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
I'd like to go see, I don't know what it is, but I'd like to see the Badlands, you know,
I'd like
to see that area.
Right.
Probably would like to see, Yosemite.
Yeah. Right.
And Yellowstone. Cause I haven't been there. My sister, there's a place in, I can't think of where it is, but she sent me all the materials cause they went there just for a weekend, an off weekend, and said, you gotta go to Yellowstone to this place. You just gotta go. You gotta go and go off season. You go off season right after summer.
Yeah.
Because there it's like summer, snow. He goes, but there's like a week in there where you can get in and nobody's up there, and it's a great time to go. But and maybe Alaska.
Right.
And I know my neighbors went on an Alaska cruise, and they said it was really cool.
Yeah.
But I'm just not a cruise person, but I would like to see, Alaska. But if I go to Alaska, I just want to ride with the cops.
Well, yeah. You know, the thing that scares me about that is, you know, I've been to the mountains where there are, you know, there are black bear and you know where to look out for them and everything else. Man, you look at those Kodiaks. Monsters. I mean, huge.
I like the bears. Mr. Chocolate.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe I'll go up for 13 years and live with the bears.
Yeah. Timothy Treadwell.
There's Mr. Chocolate. Hi, Mr. Chocolate.
That didn't end well.
One of the
his last name, it didn't end well.
One of the best things ever is when I finally watched, you know, it's called Grizzly Man, and it's about people don't know about it. Eric and I have been talking about it for years.
Right.
And when it first came out, I don't know, a decade ago maybe?
Right, yeah.
And it's Timothy Treadwell, who was the, I guess, sort of washed up actor. He claims he was supposed to be the original Woody.
Yeah.
On Cheers, right?
Yeah, that he was up for that role.
Right, but he didn't get it, and so he decided that he was going to protect the grizzly bears, so he went up every year for 13 years and lived with the grizzly bears. Now, he claimed he was protecting them, but anybody who was really, cared about the bears and Native Americans who lived up there said, no, you leave them alone.
You don't go out there and camp with them.
You don't camp with the bears, but he treated bears as if they were like human beings. Now, some of the footage he got was spectacular.
Oh, no doubt.
But after 13 years, they ate him and his girlfriend, the bears did.
Yeah. It was her first trip up there,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I believe. Maybe it was. Mm. But it's...
Werner Herzog is the narrator and producer of the movie, of the documentary.
And so there I am watching the first Jack Reacher.
Yeah.
And I'm like, who is this evil guy?
It's Werner Herzog.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, yeah. I'm like, where have I heard his voice before? I'm like, oh, Grizzly Man, yeah, that's
it. He sounds like a much tamer Arnold Schwarzenegger, because he's the same part of the country.
But in Grizzly Man, as being the narrator, he came across as so compassionate and so caring, and his voice.
But it was the same tone.
Right, the same tone, and then see him in Jack Reacher as, you know, this murderous, most evil guy you could possibly ever imagine.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
So he does have a range.
Yeah. Werner, he sounds like he's German, but he has a similar accent to Arnold, who's Austrian. But the whole thing is that the voiceover was perfect.
For Grizzly Man, yeah.
And then perfect. The bad guy was also perfect.
It was perfect, yes.
And Jack Reacher.
Yeah. Neither was flawed or out of character at all.
Right.
But yeah, he was... Grizzly Man. I'll never forget. I had watched the version that was on cable, and they took. Like, he goes into
right.
this.
He it goes into highly this, edited.
He goes into this rant, and I'm like, my parents have to see this. This is back 10 years ago. They have to see it, and so I get it for them. And it's the beginning where they show this rant, and it's the F-bomb every 2 seconds.
Which neither of us had ever seen.
We had seen just the cable version.
I saw it on what, Discovery Channel or something, NGO or something, where they showed it, and it was, of course, edited. You take up the DVD version to your parents. Oh, my gosh.
And they look at me, and I'm like, I watched the edited version. They're like, what?
Sorry.
What in the world is this?
Right.
But you know what it did? They did say at the end, it did show his mental instability.
Well,
they
said, honestly, it was a different movie without that, documentary.
By showing it, you were early on able to see his mental instability because of the cursing that just was never stopping. You went, okay, nobody curses that much. So, but yeah, don't if you, you cruise lines better than going up to live with the grizzly bears.
I would that yes of the preferences yes. Yes. If I have my preference, yes.
I don't trust grizzly bears.
Look, the fact of the matter is that if you put money into people's hands right now, and there is a return to the demand for cruise lines, then it will be there naturally. That's just the way it's going to go. If they were an American company and they served a vital role, then it would be much, much different.
They're not the airlines.
They're not the airlines at all. The airlines,
and they're not Boeing.
The airlines serve business in a big, big way. There's also cargo involved. But the fact of the matter is that they're not American companies, and they don't employ a great number, percentage-wise, of Americans.
And Boeing, fighter jets.
Yeah.
End of story.
That's national security.
You don't go any, you know, that's easy to understand.
And, yep.
You know, it's like even the left stopped because early on they were like, this is socialism. See, conservatives are for socialism. A disaster relief bill to protect vital industries in this country for commerce in the type of international disaster. And there are certain forms of disaster is not socialism.
Right.
Especially when the businesses have no choice in it, and it's the government edict, in essence, that shuts them down.
Right, exactly.
The government response to it.
Yep.
So.
Yeah.
That's not the same as in normal times, government ownership of industry.
Right.
So just to make that clear before we get that call.
Mm-hmm.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. If you want to get in, we'll get your calls following the top of the hour. So much to talk about. By the way, that story out there that the White House is balking at the $1 billion tag, from General Motors for the ventilators, actually going inside the government. Who are they going to? Oh, they're going to FEMA to say, is this cost effective?
Right, yeah.
Is this a reasonable price? Are we getting gouged? I was thinking that when I saw the Mr. Pillow guy coming out saying, okay, we're going to make masks. My first thought, are they going to be as expensive as your pillows?
Right. That's $90 a piece.
That's the first thought that came to my mind. I know you can get a discount on them too.
Right, right.
But it's somebody asked me a couple weeks ago, what kind of pillow do you have? But when I saw that, you know, because I saw him doing the video on it. And look, from what I know, people who get the pillow love the pillow. So I'm not. And doesn't matter if you can get a good pillow. If you've got back problems, and a lot of people do when you sleep, and that pillow works, it's worth. I think you can get it too for. I think the retail is They say it's for $99, but you can get two for, I think, $99.
Right.
And if you can get a pillow that will last you for 10 years and take care of your back problems.
Yep. Yeah, why not?
By the way, right? This is not an endorsement.
Yeah, no.
That was my first thought. You're making masks?
If it's worth it to you, then okay. Good.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the world, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Okay, that freaked me out.
What?
Here I was talking, just the last segment, about the guy, you know, from MyPillow. I saw the video where they're going to be making masks.
Mm-hmm.
And also I look at my phone. I'm just going through social media and Facebook. I look, and a MyPillow ad comes up.
Yeah. Do you have your phone set where the microphone is on?
I don't know.
Probably. Can you say, okay, Google, and then it activates?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. I can.
All right. You got your microphone on. Welcome to 2020, Mr.
No
McNamara.
Way! And by the way, they're on sale for $24.99.
He did that just for you.
That just freaked me out.
By the way, have you seen that? I mean, have you seen the idea now that the way that they're posting certain ads to certain segments and demographics? In other words, a sale. Okay, in this demographic, here's what the price point is. You go play these online games, and a lot of people you can actually buy the games, right? You can and what they do is it's tailored to. They'll start at like, okay, buy this many whatever plays or coins or whatever it is for this amount. And you click no. They come back and they're basically doing a bidding with you. And they know what your threshold is. So they'll start at the high point and the price point comes down. But the sale isn't the same across the board. I'm not talking about on certain e-commerce retail like necessarily the MyPillow thing.
Right.
But it's the way that they're targeting people individually to find out what their price point is based on certain demographics and earnings. I mean,
they know a lot about you based on your device, you know, and your tendency to shop on the internet. If you look at, was it Sheryl Sandberg at the chief operations officer at Facebook? She's the one that designed at Google. That's where Facebook, that's where, that company basically, did a headhunting and hired her away from Google, because she's the one that did the Google ads back in the day when you would search something and on the right, it would show you all of the available items back then. It would be a row of available items, you know, if you search cowboy boots. Then the ads would come up on the right in a different column. She's the one that developed all that type of e-commerce dynamics for Google. And then she went to Facebook. And, of course, they've ramped it up from there.
Okay.
It's kind of scary what they know about you.
Let me check to see if it works, okay?
All right.
Because I have my phone still here next to me. Golf clubs.
Yeah.
Golf clubs. I want new golf clubs.
Man, I wish a Mercedes-Benz was a lot cheaper. I'd like to get one for like $2,000.
I'd like to get a brand new set of golf clubs for $99.
If I could get a Chevy Suburban under $20,000, that would be cool.
All right, we'll see if that comes up on in the next day on Facebook. Okay,
right.
If my microphone is on my phone, we'll see if that goes.
Mm-hmm.
All right, FBI agents on Wednesday, you knew this was going to happen, arrested a small-time Southern California actor for allegedly claiming he had invented a pill that would prevent and cure the new coronavirus.
Okay.
Donald Trump claimed that arsenic, no, I'm kidding, Keith Lawrence Middlebrook, 53, was charged with one count of attempted wire fraud, a felony that carries a statutory maximum penalty of 20 years in federal prison. According to the FBI, Middlebrook, whose IMDb credits include tiny uncredited parts in Iron Man 3, Thor, and Moneyball, allegedly claimed to have personally developed a patent-pending cure for coronavirus. According to authorities, Middlebrook, who actually has a large social media following, including 2.5 million followers on Instagram, was seeking investors for his fraudulent endeavor and claimed Magic Johnson was a member of his company's board of directors. Magic told authorities he does not know Middlebrook. I have developed a cure for the coronavirus, COVID-19. L.A. patient tested positive for coronavirus, got up and walked out 51 hours after my injection, Middlebrook allegedly said via text to 1B Wood investor who worked with the FBI on its investigation. In the same text message cited by federal authorities, Middlebrook allegedly wrote, investors who come in at the ground level say at 1 million will parachute to 200 to 300 million. That's a conservative minimum. Middlebrook was arrested during a meeting at which he delivered some sort of pills, purportedly the coronavirus treatment, to an undercover agent who was posing as an investor. You knew this was going to happen, right?
Of course.
I mean, this was obvious. This was going to happen in something like this.
Of course.
During these difficult days, scams like this are using blatant lies to prey on our fears and our weaknesses, said United States Attorney Nick Hanna in a statement. While this may be the first federal criminal case in the nation stemming from the pandemic, it will certainly not be the last, and it won't. So, and he's advising people, well, he did it in a nice way. We'll advise you, don't be stupid.
Well, you're not going to go to a doctor. You're not going to go to a pharmacy. I mean,
did you see, what was it, last week?
The idea of looking around the house to see if you, hey, look, this fish tank cleaner might do the job.
Did you see last week where it was out, do not drink bleach?
Right.
That was actually out there. Do not drink bleach. It's not going to. No, of course, don't drink bleach. What are you talking about?
The only reason we have warning labels on anything is because people have done that. Because people will, oh, I wonder what would happen if I did this. That's why you have warning labels. Hey, how about you not do that?
Oh, man, I'm telling you.
I mean, for the love of idiots. Because I can't help people like that. There's nothing I can do.
No, you can't.
I don't know that anybody can. They shouldn't be left alone.
Let me
frankly.
Ask, what's worse? People who do stupid things like the people who ate, the husband and wife who ate the fish parasite tank cleaning powder, or the media that promotes the lie?
Both.
That the president of the United States promoted that action.
On the larger scale? On the larger scale, it's the media.
Yeah.
It's the media, because it's more dangerous. Because they want you to believe that you can't believe anything that's coming from the government, but because you have to set Trump aside. Trump's the president, and he's up there every day with that response team. Except he's up there with Dr. Fauci. I don't know if anybody calling Dr. Fauci, I mean, they've been trying the gotcha questions to see if they can create a rift between him and Trump. He's not allowing that. But I don't know anybody that's discrediting Dr. Fauci
or
directly.
Or Dr. Birx yesterday,
right.
when she came out, because she's right. part of the task force,
yep.
and said, look, these models have not proven to be close to being accurate.
Right.
And as we know, the one scientist who predicted 500,000 deaths in Great Britain now says, okay, maybe 20. The yeah. maximum might be 20. Well, there's a huge difference. Also yeah. said 2.2 million, which those models were used to shut down a significant portion of the economy to the point where even Cuomo said yesterday.
Yeah.
Maybe what I did wasn't the best for the public health policies.
Right. Exactly.
As a public health policy.
Yeah.
You know, starting to question, you know, Cuomo even questioning it. So I noticed that over the last 24 hours, there wasn't that push. Anymore. I didn't see the push as hard for Cuomo for president. After, I think on social media, a lot of people started making the case, as we did a couple of days ago, he's doing what Trump does.
Right.
And on the hydroxychloroquine, Z-Pak, he's the one that actually, we agree with what he did there.
Mm-hmm.
We agree that if the doctors say there really are no bad side effects and we think it's really positive, there is no harm in trying it. Because of the situation that was going on.
Well,
he thought the same way. The media completely quiet on Cuomo doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And Trump referencing the small clinical trials and said, yeah, they seem to think there's some really good things, so we should expedite those tests to see if it works.
Mm-hmm.
He's Hitler. This is Hitler trying to do experiments on people.
Right.
I mean, they went absolutely crazy. And then the point of the hydroxychloroquine that Trump was somehow promoting people use, and that's what you got from CBS. We've read
yes.
you the headlines.
Yep.
CBS and MSNBC and NBC, they were implying that Trump was telling you to eat fish tank parasite cleaner. And then Cuomo goes out and actually gives it to people and not a word.
Not a word. Not a word.
How many times can
we? He's the only one. He's the only one who, within his jurisdiction, has gone full deployment.
And so, when we said earlier on, we said, "Look, the Democrats and the media will play politics with anything. They don't care. They don't care about lying. They don't care about the coronavirus. They don't care about whether people are harmed, because they don't care about putting out any type of accurate information at all." About the reality of what the government is telling you.
Right.
They will exaggerate it to the point of absolute absurdity.
Yep.
They will lie to the point of absolute absurdity.
Yep.
And they don't care. And we're talking CBS, NBC,
mm-hmm.
MSNBC. We're not talking some far left website. We're talking the mainstream of the mainstream media. Wow.
It is, but this is, again, and it's not even the pundits, it's the newsrooms.
Yeah.
It's the news editors.
Yeah.
They're the ones that are making these decisions. I mean, you can say what you will about Rachel Maddow, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's telling lies and it could cost lives. I mean, that's false, but she's an opinion maker. We're talking about news organizations doing this. posing as journalists, you're an activist and you're a hack and you're a liar.
If you want to get in, 866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara. Let's go to Kyle in Connecticut. Kyle, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Good morning. How y'all doing?
Fantastic. Good. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I want to talk about C-19. Not really so much the C-19, because we know it's a serious thing, and people got to take it seriously and take necessary precautions. But my thing is, why is the media spin it so hard that people are literally panicking to a point where I was in a Walmart and saw a customer almost go to blows with an employee because they couldn't get enough toilet paper. And the reason why I'm saying this is because I know someone who's in Germany, a U.S. soldier who's in Germany, and he was saying that Germany's going through a lot of the same problems, but they're not freaking out about it. And he started watching U.S. news. He's like, why are they scaring the hell out of everybody? I mean,
yeah, crazy. But the majority of Americans are not panicking.
No, they're not.
The vast majority of Americans are not panicking. Are there? Yes, in a society, you're going to find people that are panicking.
By the way, you're going to find people that are panicking about a number of things, even without a pandemic.
World is ending in normal times.
Well, I mean,
for the left,
yeah. Let's face it. You walk around on any given day, or you just watch social media on any given day, and yes, you see people losing it for no reason. I mean, go watch a Little League baseball game and see how parents act. It's ridiculous. You know? I mean, mm-hmm. Seriously. I'm embarrassed for the kids sometimes. So you're going to see that. You're going to see all this stuff on social media. I saw the video of the fight in the aisle over the toilet paper. Sorry. I mean, you're just a moron if you're fighting to that degree. If you just lost it, you just simply lost it.
Yeah, I've seen, and again, I haven't been out a lot, especially the last couple of weeks. But when I have made my, limited, which is about once a week, I've been going out. I was out last week, and I wasn't out, I don't believe, at all this week.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't even get gas, but probably later on today, I'll go out and just do a little bit of shopping and gas up for next week. But I'll only be out for about 20 minutes, but I've seen nothing. And when I've talked to the people in the stores that I know, some of them, and I've said, how is it? And they'll go, it's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
How are most people? Well, some people try to get away. I go, how's the majority? The majority are fine.
Of course. Of course.
The majority are fine. Concern. I'm just wondering, hey, when are you going to be able to get this stuff in here soon? Or, I can get it? And go, we help, because most people are fine.
Right.
And we said this earlier. Most people understand. And when you see the people approving it, I don't think there are always going to be the people. The opposition's always going to demand perfection, correct?
Of course.
And they're going to.
Well, we want everything on the shelf right when we want it, and the brand that we want it, in the style that we want it. Sorry, right, Bernie, but we do need 31 brands of different brands of deodorant.
Definitely, we need 31 different brands of toilet paper and well-stocked all the time.
No doubt.
But, so you're always, the opposition's always going to sit there and say Trump's Hitler or whatever, and everything he says is a lie no matter what, whether it's a truth or not. And we understand that. But the average person out there has looked at this and said, I don't expect government to know everything. And they've been telling you, we don't know. We don't know. That's why there's some of the concern. Now that they have seen over the period of a month, as we saw yesterday, that the projections that were being made were way overblown, now they're telling us. And now you started to see yesterday. Yesterday, to me, was that key day where you saw it changing direction a little bit, because you had Cuomo come out and say, I don't know if we did the right thing by closing down society as we did. Maybe it wasn't the best, way to do it. And so you have seen, the president come up and say, maybe we should start doing this by county, right, not just across the board, but by county, or where the hot spots actually are. Maybe that's where the containment you know, should be. Maybe right. Now it's time to get smarter about this. Still stop the spread of the virus because we know it can be serious, but let's be smart about it.
Exactly.
And we can do two things at once.
Mm-hmm. Well, look,
we can do more than two things at once. We can ensure that we have a good economy.
Yeah.
We can ensure that people don't panic, but we can ensure also that we, you know, that we protect the vulnerable populations and keep this from spreading at the same time.
It was a week ago today that I said that people are going to start getting anxious because it's one thing to have a few days off. But then all of a sudden, when you start doing the numbers on the bills that you got to pay or just being able to go here and there, just about your liberties in general, people start getting very anxious. And I said, it's going to happen within a couple of 2-3 weeks. Well, Monday, you had Governor Cuomo first saying it. And then, of course, President Trump saying it. We got to look at, you know, the future, start reopening things, and hopefully we'll get there very soon. Here's your forecast.
Some potential icing, possibly snow in areas of South Dakota and Nebraska. You'll want to watch it as you proceed westward from Sioux Falls on I-90 or westward on I-80 out of Lincoln, Nebraska. Should be clear to the west of I-29, at least for the next few hours, but we do begin to pick up that rain-snow area in that region coming off the Colorado Rockies. Now, as we get into the Midwest, things change over to rain, and that area will become more widespread. For the overnight and early morning hours, we'll see rain chances extend from Pittsburgh into Columbus, Ohio, Indianapolis, Indiana, and over into central Illinois. As the day progresses, though, that area becomes more widespread to include not only those areas, but back toward the west, portions of Iowa, Missouri, and Kansas. I-10 is clear from California to Florida. Your national forecast from Red Eye Radio, I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Bonus show.
And he is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Welcome and good morning. Thanks so much for being here. So you want to go to the Gallup poll?
Sure.
All right, you ready? Ready for this? Approval ratings of U.S. leaders and institutions' handling of response to coronavirus.
All right.
And here are the institutions. U.S. hospitals, your child's school or daycare, your state government, your employer, government health agencies such as the CDC or NIH, Vice President Mike Pence, President Donald Trump, Congress, and the news media.
Mm-hmm.
All right. U.S. hospitals rated the highest. No surprise, right?
Yeah, sure.
No surprise.
Right.
88% approval, 10% disapproval. Your child's school or daycare. 83% approval, 9% disapproval, 8% doesn't apply.
Hmm.
Your state government, 82% approval, 17% disapproval.
All right.
Your employer, 82% approve of their response, 14% disapprove. This must have been taken before the layoff started. Government agencies, health agencies such as the CDC or the National Institutes of Health, 80% approval, 17% disapproval. Vice President Mike Pence, 61% approval, 32% disapproval, 7%,
I don't know.
President Trump, 60% approval, 38% disapproval. Congress, 59% approval, 37% disapproval. And finally, the news media, with the worst ratings, the only institution that did not get a majority of Americans. The news media, 44% approval, 55% disapproval. That is no surprise.
No, it's not. It's their handling of this because they can't help themselves. They've never been journalists. They don't know how to do it. Their mindset doesn't know how to go there. When you have news organizations, entire news organizations like NBC and CBS, behaving the way they're behaving, creating a completely false narrative, and I mean one that is based on pure lies and false information, well, sorry, Rachel Maddow, you can't say anything. You can't say anything about endangering people's lives because what one man says is one thing, and by the way, he hasn't been saying anything that's dangerous to the American people, President Trump. But what an entire organization does when they imply that the president was instructing people to drink, to ingest fish tank cleaner, that is a flat-out falsehood. It is a blatant lie. And which is more dangerous? Because have they come back and corrected that story? Have they come back and said, we're wrong for doing that? Have CBS actually went full on? They went further than NBC did.
Well, you know, one of the things, and it was brought up by, I think, Molly Hemingway, that what the big lie of the president this week that they're claiming mm-hmm. that they wish to use in order to stop broadcasting the press conferences, what the president said about hydroxychloroquine.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say anything wrong.
No, he didn't.
There's no lie there.
No.
He simply said, we've heard great things about it from, you know, the French study right. and from others out there, and we'd like to, accelerate. Now, he did, and he walked back when he said it was approved by the FDA early on, mm-hmm. and they walked it back afterwards, said, no,
right. And even if it were approved by the FDA, there would still be a process of getting that. It wouldn't come from your fish tank cleaner. It would be going to your doctor,
exactly.
getting
right.
it prescribed in the proper dosage, and getting it from a pharmacy.
Exactly.
The pharmaceutical grade of that active ingredient.
Now it had approved. What he probably meant was it was approved by the FDA.
To look at it, to do more research.
No, it was approved by the FDA for malaria. It's an approved FDA drug.
Oh, okay.
Right. It was an approved FDA drug, but it came across as that they had approved it, you know, at that point. When did you say that? Sunday or Monday? Forgot when it was.
But at that point, they had also approved going further with the study. I mean, let's look into it.
Yes.
Which is, by the way, what they've always done.
Right. You're right, because Cuomo was talking about it on Sunday also then.
Right.
Right. So, you know, they were making a mountain out of a molehill. There was nothing there.
The point he was trying to make is it wasn't still in development.
Right.
It got initial approval, though at that point didn't have off-label approval. It did have, at that point, approval based on that usage. So it was no longer in R&D. But the media can't help themselves. They want this guy out of office at all costs. Even if they have to lie about the facts of these cases, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter to them. And it's, again, it's expected, but there is constantly here on this show a new, like, wow, another sense of totally, completely perverted awe that they actually go to the places that they go to.
It was the, think about it, though. It was the liberals and the Democrats on Capitol Hill that when he closed the door to China travel, you're a racist.
Yeah.
And now they're saying, why aren't you shutting everything down?
Not only a racist, but you need to get out. You need to get out and you need to party. And that's one thing that what happened. I think there's a Biden ad that's using Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why we said, look, anything you say is going to be used against you. And so basically running selective, audio cuts from Trump where he early on was saying that, the coronavirus, we don't see it as a problem yet. We don't see it as a, and so, of course, they're playing it. Go back and look at what the Democrats were saying. And when you look at the actions of the president early on with, not allowing, saying, OK, let's shut it down with China. He was called a racist. He was called everything in the book by the liberal media. Who was it? It was Tucker Carlson that went, into the New York City politicians and what Bloomberg said and what other politicians were saying. Go on in. The Chinese festival was going on. Frequent, go to the restaurants. Go. And this was in early March. they were doing this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, if you want to play this game, go ahead, because
sure.
you guys were saying things that were just absolutely, totally over the top bizarre.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And even when they closed him down for Europe, remember?
Right.
Same thing.
Well, I mean, because they criticize him. And then when he starts saying, we hope that we can get business back, you know, up and running again by Easter. We're hopeful, right? He's talking about a few weeks at that point, a few weeks down the road, 2.5. It was like, I think it was 3 weeks from Easter, actually, at that point when he started saying that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now they're saying, well, no, you need to shut everything down. Well, just a couple of months ago, you guys saying shutting everything down at the airport level and international travel was bigoted and was wrong, an overreaction.
And he needs to stop acting like he's a dictator.
Right.
And 4 weeks later, he needs to be acting more like a dictator.
A few months ago, why aren't you having daily press briefings? The American people need to know the business of the White House. He steps up during a pandemic to tell them what the administration is doing during a pandemic, and they're saying he's stepping up to the podium and giving us too much information. And they want you to tell you he's lying,
right.
or they want you to believe he's lying. And the fact of the matter is, he's not lying. Because he's got the people up there, including Dr. Fauci and other experts, that are giving you the scientific facts. You don't have to, I don't care who you are. You don't have to like Trump. You don't have to believe Trump. Ignore Trump if you must. But his handling of this, by and large, is being applauded by the American people, whether you like it or not.
This from TheHill.com. Only 27% of people surveyed in a new poll think Democrats should keep Nancy Pelosi as the leader of their house, with nearly half of Democrats surveyed saying the caucus should pick someone new.
Wow.
The New American Barometer poll released yesterday by Hill TV and HarrisX found that just 51% of Democrats think the House Democrats should keep Pelosi as their leader. 49% said the caucus should pick a new leader. 79% of independents said that Pelosi should be replaced, while 91% of Republicans and House Democrats said House Democrats should pick a new leader. I am one of the few conservatives to say, nope, she should stay right where she is.
Let's make AOC Speaker of the House.
Well, okay. If we're going to make AOC. All right.
Yeah.
If you're going to replace her, but I think Nancy should stay. If you're talking politics and who hurts the Democrats, I want her in there.
It's
right.
Nancy, yeah.
The dismal figures come as a number of Democratic candidates and incumbent members of the House refuse to say that they will support Pelosi in a vote for the House speakership. Then again, I need to be compassionate. I just rethought this whole thing.
What's that?
91% of Republicans think that House Democrats should pick a new leader besides Nancy Pelosi because they care about Democrats. They want you to succeed.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. They want the party to be seen in a better light. By the way, who would that be? I don't know who that would be right now. Who would the speaker be? Steny Hoyer?
Yeah, that's first thing. It's amazing because I was thinking.
Got to be Steny Hoyer.
The exact same thing when you said it.
Yeah, it's got to be Steny Hoyer.
It's not. By the way, it's not going to be AOC.
Right.
Even though she could put her name into it.
I used to call the two of them back in the day Nanny Peloyer. To make it simple.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. Nanny Peloyer.
Nanny Peloyer. Yeah.
It'd
probably be Steny Hoyer.
See.
Because Steny Hoyer right now doesn't get a lot of negative press. I mean, he did in the day. From the right, I mean.
Sheila Jackson Lee?
Please make that happen. Please make that happen.
Please, please, please,
please, please, please, please. More than AOC. Please, please, please. I don't know. Can we contribute to a campaign fund, a GoFundMe or something to make that happen? Oh, my goodness, please.
That might work against us. I can't listen to you guys. You supported the campaign of Sheila Jackson Lee.
I know, but it makes it so much easier on our job. You don't understand. We have a much different take. Oh, yeah. I love it. We'll start a GoFundMe page. I don't know how I'm pretty sure that's not how it works, but it doesn't matter. We've seen this before. But think about it. She has bungled everything because I don't care. I don't care. Remember, I'm old enough to remember when Adam Schiff was the problem of the Democratic Party.
Wow. Hey, right? Hold it. Let's stop for a second. Let's talk impeachment.
Right.
Huh?
What? Hey, you guys remember impeachment?
Remember?
Let's go way back.
Anybody remember impeachment?
Let's go way back.
But okay, there's another one. Adam Schiff, Speaker. Please. I mean, Lee would be better.
Yeah,
I mean,
he's
more entertaining. But
he's disappeared completely.
Because here's again my theory. I think he brought false information, whether it was knowingly doing so or not, to Nancy Pelosi saying, we got him. And she said, okay, great. Now we'll open the door to impeachment. All last year she was saying no until he brought that. And they thought the transcript would never see the light of day. And Nancy said, yep. And then they all got the backlash for opening the door because they had to go through it. By the way, it doesn't matter. She owns it. She's the speaker.
Yep.
She's the leader of the party in that house. And that's on her.
See, we talked impeachment.
Yep.
866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Quickly to Greg in Illinois. Greg, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Hello, sir. Eric and Gary. I want to say, first-time caller, long-time listener, you guys are great. You crack me up, and you tell it like it is.
Thanks.
And I don't guess I have the right to do this, but I want to thank you on behalf of our country, on behalf of truth. And even the Lord, you all just do a great job.
Thank you.
You kept everyone's spirits up and just keep telling the truth. Keep going great. I know you will.
Thank you.
I just have something quick to say. I try to say it quick. They talk about the infection rates. Okay, I'm just using it as an example. 80,000 people have this disease, okay? Well, they never talk about how many people have recovered, completely recovered from it. So they keep using these huge figures, but I think the White House lady scientist was talking about that a little bit. It hadn't panned out to be at whatever one thought it was. And
okay.
Think that's an important statistic.
Well, one reason here, no, because I want to address that question here, and we're very limited on time. I want to address the fact is, in the United States, because we are behind, for example, China and other countries, the actual recovery rate is small right now.
Because there's a standard for that recovery rate.
Right. There's a standard. And so but we know what the recovery rate will be based on the fatality numbers. We know right now it's anywhere, if you look at it, between 1.2 and probably 1.6%, no matter where you are in the country. That's the fatality rate, which means we know 98.5% of people will basically recover from it. Right. So we know what that is, and that seems to be consistent in the United States right now. But the actual numbers, I think, are what, 745 or something like that have recovered out of the 85,000 that have been diagnosed right now. So it hasn't been a big news item. To be fair, it hasn't been a big news item from those who have officially recovered in the United States, even though the vast majority will.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.